This past week during the octave of Easter, I was in my happy place, Middle Earth. I got the opportunity, it's always a rare opportunity to watch all three of the extended edition films of The Lord of the Rings. When the office was closed this past Monday, I got to watch two of the movies, which is about 8 hours worth of film. And so then I had to save the 4 hours worth of The Return of the King for this past Friday night. And wouldn't you know it, Father Wilson returned home right after the ring was destroyed. If that's not providential timing, I'm not sure what is. And one of the things that I was noticing as I was watching through The Lord of the Rings this time was how often Frodo, the one entrusted with the Ring of Power to take it to Mount Doom and destroy it, how often he tries to run away and do his task by himself. It happens over and over again that Frodo, for whatever reason, he thinks he needs to go and do this by himself. Whether it's the quest in general or whether it's particular tasks that come along their journey, Frodo's constantly trying to go off and do things by himself. The thing is, when he actually does get off by himself, it doesn't work out very well for him. Right? One of the examples is that when they're finally making it into Mordor, the land of evil, they had gone through this tunnel and they're trying to run away from this spider-like creature, Shelob. Right? But Frodo ends up running away from Sam, and he just gets so excited that they've gotten through this tunnel, and they're almost in Mordor, and he just gets too excited, and he runs off by himself, leaving his friend behind him. And then this spider-like creature catches up to him, attacks him, and stabs him. Right? Does not work out for him when he runs off by himself. However, when he has some times when he tries to run off by himself, but then he has others come to be with him, he ends up receiving something more in those opportunities. Right? There was another time, it was right at the end of the Fellowship of the Ring, when Frodo makes up his mind that he needs to leave the Fellowship behind and finish the journey to Mordor alone. Now, Sam, his friend, realizes this, and so he tries to catch up with Frodo, and Frodo is halfway paddling across the lake that they're at, and Samwise tries to start swimming after him. And Frodo shouts back at him, "Go back, Sam. I'm going to Mordor alone." And Samwise responds, "Of course you are. And I'm coming with you." And then it's a really poignant moment as Frodo pulls Sam up out of the water and into the boat. And he realizes that Sam is so dedicated that he's going to go with Frodo on this journey to Mordor. That you can see the relief. You can see the gratitude, you can see the joy in Frodo's eyes as he embraces his friend in that great gratitude. Right? When he's with his friend, when he's in the midst of community, so to speak, Frodo's able to receive so much more than he's ever able to accomplish if he tries to go off by himself alone. Now, I'm not sure St. Thomas the Apostle was going off to Mordor when he was not with the other disciples on that first Easter morning, right? I'm not sure where Thomas was. I always like to think that he was going off to get groceries because somebody's got to be responsible in that group of men. But whatever reason it was, he wasn't there. St. Thomas was apart from the community. He was off by himself, doing something alone. But even when he comes back into the midst of the disciples, he keeps himself alone. We hear it in the responses between the disciples and Thomas. Right? When Thomas comes back, the disciples say, "We have seen the Lord." Right? They say it as a community, right? They say it as individuals who have encountered Jesus together as a group. "We have seen the Lord." But then we hear Thomas keeping himself apart from that community. "Unless I see the mark of the nails and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Right? He keeps himself apart, even when he's got his brother apostles, right? When he's got his disciples around him, he keeps himself apart. And so he's not able to receive the Easter faith and the Easter joy that all of the other disciples are bearing witness to, that are seeking to share with him. As they say, "We have seen the Lord." He keeps himself alone, apart from the community. And so he's not able, on that first Easter evening, to receive the Easter faith and the Easter joy. But then comes 8 days later, right? Where we are at right now. It's 8 days after our Easter Sunday, right? 8 days later, and now Thomas is with them. Thomas is part of the community as Jesus comes anew into their midst, right? And that makes the whole difference for Thomas, that Thomas is with them, that he's not apart, but that he is together with the disciples. And even though he has an individual encounter with Jesus, right, it's only Thomas that puts his finger into the nail marks, right? Even though there's an individual encounter that happens, that individual encounter happens in the midst of the community. All of the other disciples are watching and bearing witness to this encounter of Thomas and the risen Lord Jesus. And I would imagine that as they bear witness to this individual encounter, their own Easter faith and Easter joy, which Thomas is now receiving in the midst of the community, their own is increasing because they get to see Thomas receive that faith and that joy. And so their own faith and joy, as they see this encounter, grows within them. And this is the great desire of Jesus' heart. Right, that not only is it an individual encounter, that he has a heart for each individual one of us, but that he gathers his disciples to himself. And he reveals and he gives himself to his disciples in the midst of community. Not merely, not simply as an individual encounter, but even those individual encounters happen in the midst of community. And just like it was for Thomas, so too it is for all of us, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have our individual encounters with the risen Lord Jesus. Right? That's really what we receive as we receive Holy Communion. Right? The Holy Eucharist is the risen Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But that individual encounter happens alongside all of our brothers and sisters who are also coming forward to receive the risen Lord Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we return to our pews, and now all of our brothers and sisters alongside of us, we are all alive anew in the new life of Jesus that we've received in the Holy Eucharist. Now, Jesus continues to reveal himself and give himself in the midst of community. That's how Jesus has chosen to do it. It's part of the gift of baptism as well, right? As we get to witness baptisms this morning, right? The three most basic gifts of baptism are sin out, God in, and then in the church. Part of the gift, part of the grace of baptism is that as we are born anew in the life of Christ, our Lord gives us brothers and sisters in the faith all throughout the world, as well as right next to us, to our left and to our right, so that we are together with so many brothers and sisters that Jesus has gathered to himself. And so then can come the invitation and the question for us, right? Who are those brothers and sisters? Where is that community that I both get to receive their witness of the risen Lord Jesus, as well as bear witness of my encounter with the risen Jesus to them? What is that community context which my own Easter faith and my own Easter joy can live and grow? And we can think of it on the grand scale, first of all, right? That we are in the church. Right? So we can ask that. How much am I in communion with the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church? Do I know that these are my brothers and sisters? Right? From Pope Francis all the way down to the newly baptized this morning. Right? That all of these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. That we're all seeking to be gathered to him and to follow him. We can bring it down to the local level. Right? Who are those here at my parish, here at All Saints, who I can look to see their Easter faith and joy, to see their encounter with Jesus, and so have my own faith and joy increased, and as well as have that ability to bear witness to my own encounter with Jesus, and so help them in their own growth in Easter faith and joy. If I can think of particular persons, like if names are running through your heads right now as I put that question out there, thanks be to God. Right? We can thank our Lord for giving us these brothers and sisters. Right? And then we can ask him to inspire us to open our eyes more to see their witness as they offer to us, as well as to strengthen us and encourage us to bear more witness to them so that all of our faith can grow and our joy will increase. But if I struggle a little bit, right, just to think of who are those persons, then we ask the Lord to give us brothers and sisters. We ask the Lord to bring them into our lives, to open up the places for us where I'll find this community, where I can receive and grow in this Easter faith and joy. We still have the opportunity here at All Saints through the small group initiative put forward by our Archdiocesan Synod. Right? I've heard from multiple leaders from these small groups that have been going, you know, some of them started during Lent, some of them are still kicking off, but all of them desire to continue to go. And many of these leaders are eager and excited for more people to join their groups. And so if I'm looking for a community, we still have this avenue, this pathway that our Lord provides for us to find brothers and sisters to help us to grow in faith and to grow in joy. But however we seek out that community, or however we seek to grow in that community, we take heart in that foundational gift of Jesus, that he reveals and gives himself in the midst of the community of believers. And that our Easter faith and our Easter joy will grow as we receive the witness of our brothers and sisters and their encounter with Jesus. And as we bear witness to our own life and experience of Jesus. So that each of us and all of us can be gathered to the heart of Jesus. And we can live the new life that he has poured out into our hearts.